Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
And welcome back for another episode of the Nate Darling Show. It is, in fact, the Valentine's Day episode. Hi, Mel.
Hi.
Happy Valentine's Day to ye.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Yeah, you know what I got Larry for Valentine's Day?
Kick in the face?
Yeah, I got him. Well, no, I actually didn't get him anything because he's not here.
Does that mean you got me something?
No, it does not.
Oh.
I did. We're recording the show a day early.
I get your company.
Indeed. And as an extra special gift for you, I got you a John Alston. Hello, John.
I love having a John Alston.
I'm available to all Spencer gifts.
Those are becoming more and more rare, too. That's kind of... they don't have one at the Arden Fair Mall.
That was always the place where you went to go see kind of semi-dirty books and
right.
and dirty pictures and the black light posters.
Exactly. I was going to say that's where we got our black lights.
And my observation, because I went by the one in Roseville, and they were having a big lingerie sale, and I always wondered, is it really good form to buy your sexy under things and your fake vomit in the same place?
No.
And the empty tipped over Coke can. that gets me all the time. I think, oh my God, there's a Coke can just spilled. Oh no, it's not. It's plastic.
Hey, today's show is sponsored by the Lady Business Improv Show, coming up on February 18th at the Sacramento Comedy Spot.
Yay!
Check out Mel and other ladies doing their business on stage.
That's right.
Show starts at 8 o'clock on Saturday the 18th. The tickets are what, $8?
$8.
And if you're not a cheap ass and you'd like to see a second show for only $4 more, I guess if you are a cheap ass, you can get the combo pack of Lady Business with Anti-Cooperation League.
It's the perfect date night.
Yeah. You can hit the link. That will be, it's right there. It'll be in the show description. You can find it.
Come out and support us.
Yeah, do it if you're in Sacramento. If you're not in Sacramento, well, I guess you're shit out of luck.
And we're doing a trendy, fashion-y styled themed show, so wear your favorite themed trendy clothes.
Are you trying to get people to come or get people to stay away?
Hey.
I'm just asking.
I might pull some jelly bracelets out.
Oh, fantastic.
That's right.
Available at Spencer Gifts.
The 80s were good to me.
Were they?
Oh, man, I love the 80s.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, they were colorful and fun. Oh. You got to wear great nail polish and eye shadows. And
I think that's the phantom decade.
Cool ripped jeans.
I mean, I thought the 70s were bad. I think the 70s have more going for them than the 80s.
I love the 80s. Hair had, bands.
Oh, flock of seagulls and the rolled up sleeves on the sport coats and the...
Madras shorts. Loved it.
Oh, boy. The rise and fall of hair metal. I wanted to start out today with a little something that makes me laugh every time I hear it on TV. And we're not radio friendly, so we could actually say the word. But if you are radio friendly, you would abbreviate the word cunt with, she's a C or something like that. So whenever I hear this, I giggle.
Hello?
Hello, this is the C calling. What's the last romantic thing he did for you?
Oh, I don't know.
Did you have to do that to me?
What counts as romantic?
Is somebody watching?
Yeah, it's a Royal Caribbean romance TV commercial.
So are you saying you're so opposed to a commercial that's espousing romance that you're saying it's cunty for them to, they're implying that
no,
it's cunty to put a guy in that predicament?
No, Mel, I'm not. What I'm saying is if we were doing a radio-friendly broadcast, we wouldn't say cunt. We would say C. Yeah,
right.
So you're just saying
right.
It's funny that they're saying it's the C calling.
Exactly.
It's your hoo-hoo calling.
Exactly. If we were on KYCC, your Christian companion, we'd say C. We wouldn't use the full word. We'd do C jokes on
though,
your Christian companion.
In a way, companion. It is. It's like your C calling, because if you don't do something romantic on Valentine's Day, the C will go away.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't get any C.
Yeah, it's Adam Carolla talked about Valentine's Day. It's pretty much like a DUI checkpoint at this point, for guys anyway. Because the best that you can hope for with Valentine's Day is that you get to go home in your own car. As you know, you get to DUI checkpoint, everything's okay. They go, all right, sir, you can go. Or you end up going to jail with a record. And that's what Valentine's Day is really like for guys now. Because either you come up really big and the reaction is, all right, well, that was expected. Or you don't, and then you get the cold shoulder. You get essentially the equivalent of jail.
I'm all alone for this Valentine's Day.
And a record.
Well, you're alone for the day. You have a boyfriend.
I know, but it's sad that I have to spend the day alone.
See, the day doesn't mean anything. You have someone who loves you. Let's get past that silliness that February 14th is the most important thing in the world.
Girls love Valentine's Day.
Girls are idiots.
That's true.
Let me move on to explain why. Last night was the Grammys, and I watched none of it.
I watched 6 minutes of it. I watched the Foo Fighters performing.
Okay. See, that's the thing, though. If I would have watched the Grammys, and here's why I don't, I picked out what maybe could have amounted to 10 to 15 minutes of actual enjoyment out of a 3.5 hour broadcast. And that ratio is just not good enough to get me to watch.
Yeah, sorry. I got really lucky. I flipped it on right when the Foo Fighters were starting. So I recorded it for Paul and then I flipped away because then the next person on was doing hip hop dance something or other. And I don't know who it was and I didn't care. And that was the end of my Grammys experience.
So yes, the Grammys it led to a lot of tweeting. Is really what happened. And Chris Brown was a big part of the Grammys last night, making a big comeback after beating the crap out of Rihanna last year.
He's a role model.
He is now. And
he's back.
He is, and he can't be stopped. And so a lot of women decided to tweet about Chris Brown last night during the Grammys, and here's a sampling of them. Brittany Page, that's her screen name, @BrittanyPage_, call me crazy, but I would let Chris Brown beat me up any day.
That's not funny. That's horrible.
Let's get them together and see how she feels about it.
They're not kidding, though. That's
gross.
That's the problem. @_AnnieGreg says, everyone shut up about Chris Brown being a woman beater. Shit, he can beat me up all night if he wants.
Oh, God. Everybody shut up about Adolf Hitler. He's a great motivational speaker. Leave him alone.
He can put me in an oven any day.
Shamooks18, that's a chick named Shannon. Not going to lie, I think I'd let Chris Brown beat me. #SoSexy, #LoveHim, #AwkwardTweet, #Don'tEvenCare.
Oh, my God. I'm so disturbed by this. It's not even funny.
@SarahLeeLove, I'd let Chris...
How do girls think that that's an acceptable way? I mean, I get it. I don't get it. I was going to try to say I get what they're saying, but I don't. Like... How could you say, like, I like someone so much, I want them to punch me in the face?
Well, they wait. It's the makeup beating that they wait for. There's nothing better than the makeup beating.
Oh, God.
Being
facetious.
I'm hoping.
John's kidding. Here's a chick who did a full body tweet of a picture of herself as though he's going to see her.
And come beat her, if she's lucky.
Chris Brown, you can beat me if you want.
I'm glad there's this anti-social media to just expose all of these fucking morons.
It's, oh my God, Nate's scrolling down this page and it's woman after woman wanting to be beaten this guy.
Yeah,
I think these girls think it's the sexy kind of hold me down and have sex with me rough beating. And I think his kind of beating is punch you in the face and make you bleed beating and knock your teeth out.
Yeah, this is ice pack in the hospital emergency room beating.
Yeah. This isn't good beating, ladies. You don't want to be beat, trust me.
No. And you deal with the real thing way too often to think that. So that's Twitter issue number one with the Grammys. Twitter issue number two is, who is Paul McCartney? Which sort of came up a lot.
What?
I know. But it did enough to do.
People don't know who Paul McCartney is, but want to be beaten by Chris Brown.
Someone named Michaela @LightSkinGirl, not the one we know. Who TF is Paul McCartney? IDGAF. Who he is? He hella old too.
What's IDGAF mean?
I don't give a fuck.
Give a fuck. Really?
Yep. Kayla?
Light-skinned Michaela, you're a dumb fuck.
I don't know who Paul McCartney is. Who TF is Paul McCartney? Who is Paul McCartney?
That makes my heart hurt.
I love the fact that in this age of information at your fingertips, they immediately tweet their ignorance as opposed to, if there were only some device people could use to maybe type in his name and find out who he is. But then again, the next tweet would be, who are the Beatles?
Oh, God.
I
hear they were big.
This man named Jose, his Twitter handle is BroseCuervo21. I'm about to sound naive as F, but who the hell is Paul McCartney? This song sucks, BTW.
I'm speechless.
So the point I was trying to make...
Kids today are dumb.
Nope. The point I
was trying... They have no taste in music.
No, that's not it. You can stop guessing now and let
Damn
me just
it.
Do it.
All right.
As Paul would tell you, quit trying to Bigfoot the whole thing here, Mel. Come on. Come on, baby. Don't Bigfoot me. Come on. No, in a day and age where more and more people are saying proudly that they get all of their news from social media and they get all of their news from Twitter, these are the assholes you're getting your news from.
I'm waiting for the, you know, in about a year, 6 months, who is Justin Bieber?
Oh, that can't come soon enough, really.
Do you know what he performed on the Grammys by any chance?
Justin Bieber?
No, Paul McCartney.
Who's Paul McCartney?
Yeah, I don't know. No, because I didn't watch any. But I think it was a medley at the end, which gained fame in one little town in the Midwest because they decided to start their newscast at 10:30 and cut it off.
In Omaha, the computer kicked in, and so so Omaha missed. then again, in Omaha, it is still 1970, so you know
it is. Except they've upgraded the technology to the point where they don't need a person there to go, hey, maybe it's not time to switch over yet. So that's kind of how that went. So there you go. Fantastic stuff. Hey, I get all my news from Twitter. Good for you.
Oh.
I prefer to get my news from people who have to know how to tie a tie or, you know, do their
hike up a skirt.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
And know how to spell.
Yeah.
Whatever happens to work.
Tell you
for
about
you.
The plane crash with a gleam in their eye.
Oh, well, yeah. You got to look good when you're on the TV. You would know that, John.
No, I wouldn't know that. Trust me.
John, a former news anchor, also part-time. You still do news in the
Bay
Area.
I dabble in it just to stay fresh, just because I like doing live shots, and I like dabbling in it. I'm doing God's work.
Do you think you'll be standing in the snow telling people how cold it is anytime soon?
That's always a possibility. I could be sent to the mountains, so I could be making snow angels.
It's sort of like being an on-call doctor, except completely pointless.
Yes, except you do no good for humanity. It is just a kind of a babysitter.
Up here in the mountains, it's snowing.
I call it news for shut-ins.
Those of you who don't know what snow looks like, here it is.
Yeah.
And I make fun of it generically because everybody does it. That's kind of why I make fun of it, because it's just the fallback that everybody does. It's like, look, it's raining, look, it's snowing. And it's
easy to do. It's easy to wrap your head around. Mortgage crisis, not so much. But puddles, I can get that concept.
Yeah.
I know how they work.
Yeah,
tell
I
me
know
more.
Puddles.
Oh, I hate puddles. Socks get soaked. And it's unpleasant. It just is. I mean, my day is ruined. See how easy that is to just identify with that?
Exactly.
Now, did you guys see the dad who uses Facebook to teach his daughter a lesson video?
Yes, I did.
Okay, pretty much everybody did. I'm not going to play a clip from it here. We'll put a link to it somewhere on our Facebook page if you haven't seen it, if you're one of those people. Well, anyway, we're starting to get a little bit of follow-up to this, and basically he's refusing to do any media interviews because this is part of why I like him even more.
He seems like almost crazy normal.
Yeah.
His response to everything.
The skeptic in me just wonders how legit this is. I mean, literally anybody can go on to Facebook or the Twitter and create anything that they want. I'm wondering how legit this is. This isn't some guy trying to be an internet sensation, and in fact, he has no daughter.
I don't know. He's basically saying no, he's not going to do any stuff on TV.
I even saw that it said somewhere that he was offered a show, and he's like, the world is insane. He's like, I don't want any part of this. I was just dealing with my family issue.
Well, I think the best part of the story is how she got caught, because when you first saw the video, he talks about how he worked in IT, and she should know that's how she would get caught. Well, the real story behind it is the dog ended up catching her. It finally came out that it was basically when his daughter made her post, she used Facebook's privacy settings to blow up, quote, family and, quote, church friends from her list. So you make your lists. And all of her other friends could see it. Now her family could not. But one of the dogs is always getting in photos, and therefore they made their own Facebook page for the dog. It's just a cute, dumb thing that they say they did. Well, the dog's profile is rarely used except when funny pictures of her are posted. And since it's not too often, she has very few friends on Facebook, and her wall is kind of bare with relatively few posts showing up. And the other night, they gave the dog a bath, and there was a funny photo that they uploaded to Facebook, and he tagged the dog in. So when he logged into Facebook as the dog the next morning to comment on the photo, he logged in with the dog's profile, And his daughter had forgotten to add the dog to the family list, so that's how they ended up seeing the post.
She figured the dog wouldn't be checking Facebook.
Yeah, she didn't add the dog to the family list, so that's how she got caught. It's always in the details.
Yeah, I also wonder, too, this guy probably committed a felony by unloading that firearm in public for no good reason. I'm just guessing.
I don't know. Why? It's North Carolina.
Oh, I thought it was Texas.
No, it's North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, okay, maybe there's a merit badge in for him. I don't know.
Well, if it were Texas, I can't imagine there would be a felony involved with
I'm not
doing
quite sure
a
you can. Play. I'm not quite sure you can discharge a firearm or anything on Valentine's Day.
That's why
that's
we
terrible.
That's why we had John in for this show.
I'm just getting warmed up here.
So the only thing he did do, he got some questions from Anita Lee from the Toronto Star. And she sent in, like, requests for questions, and instead of emailing them back, he put the questions and his answers out on Facebook.
Yeah, I like this.
So, he didn't want to have his responses edited and changed, so that's why he did it. So, kind of cool. He's become kind of a folk hero.
And I like sort of how the way he sort of explained how things sort of came, how it ended up right. with the daughter, and how she was pretty rational about it, and she was like, I'm not going to go be a stripper. My life isn't over. Mm-hmm. It's a computer. I get it. Like, it seems like they're a pretty normal yeah. family in a weird, crazy way.
I like how he did it in kind of a level-headed, you know, loving kind of way, you know, setting your daughter straight by using deadly force. I think that, you know, I think most, you know, that's kind of the warm, fuzzy way you want to raise your children, to teach them a lesson.
Well, I mean, somebody that was from a different background, like my dad would have, you know, in this day and age with the technology, my dad would have done the same thing, but he would have stepped on it, or he would have put a hammer through it because he wouldn't shoot it. But, you know, if this is somebody that's really into gun safety, I mean, we used to, when I was a police officer, we used to go out on people's property in the backyard and target shoot. I'm sure, you know, if it's he's on his property, he can do that. And it was making a statement.
And he used hollow points, so there wouldn't be any ricochet problem.
Exactly. So it would be, you know, as opposed to a semi-wad cutter or any type of ammunition that might create some
shrapnel to the face.
Exactly. Like kind of a howitzer, just to teach him a lesson.
He thought ahead, and that's really the important thing.
I would have used a dirty bomb, just a little, just you know, that thing, just a slow level radiation in a confined area, just to tell my daughter I love her.
Well, you could do that. You could also take a dump in the open laptop and then close it down to squeeze
exactly.
your excrement into the keys. That would prevent her from ever wanting
yes.
to use it again.
There's not enough rice in the world to get that moisture out.
Or he could make a video of him beating off to internet porn using her laptop.
Okay.
He's on dad's on chat roulette again.
Okay.
I don't know if that's better or not.
That's not okay.
See, normally there's a balance because Larry comes halfway between me and Mel in terms of okay things.
I'm
to say.
Feeling my way here.
John's worse.
I'm kind of feel. I know I can be worse, but I'm kind of feeling. I'm just going with the flow.
You're supposed to be playing the part of Larry tonight. If you could be a little more sensitive and a little bit more gay.
Well, that I can do one of those, and I'll be sensitive. No, seriously though.
Yeah, both of them at one time is a lot to ask, really. So yeah, that's the story so far, and he's turned down all media requests, which I think is kind of cool, because he wants to teach her the lesson that you shouldn't be benefiting from making horrible mistakes, sort of like you can't profit from your crimes.
And it is annoying. I mean, when kids sort of, you know, the things she said, you know, and that sense of entitlement, when it's like you live here for free, you're fed for free, you don't have to work, you don't have to do anything, and yet you want all of these big ticket items. And then you're ungrateful enough to put something out like that, like, I'm not your fucking slave, you know?
Well,
you have it pretty good, kid.
True, but I will defend her in and I'm not going to really defend her, but I will say this. I think most teenagers at one point or another have gone off on a rant like that
oh, yeah.
on their parents. Now, though, they do it in a medium where their parents can find it and hear it, because you know, before you would do it with your friends, or you'd do it where you're by yourself and no one would ever have to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're putting it on Facebook for the world to see. And I still maintain that she was really punished because she didn't listen, because he had apparently warned her about doing that before.
Yeah.
And you only get one warning before the gun comes out.
Yeah, I mean, there are consequences. Exactly. I mean, yeah, I mean, I remember feeling the same sort of stuff. And, you know, I do so much around the house and nobody appreciates me. And I, you know, bring stuff to the table, too. And they're mean to me. And I get it. But if you're going to do it out in the open, Fucking shit like that ricochets, yeah. Man.
I'm waiting for the next video where she sneaks into her father's bedroom at night with the handgun and has the video and blows him away and puts that, posts that to teach him a lesson he won't soon forget.
Thankfully, it sounds like she's level-headed enough that we don't have to expect that.
All right, moving on. Hey, this is, speaking of press and freedom of the press and videotaping shit, in Baltimore and Federal Hill, citizens are allowed to record police.
Everywhere they are.
Sure. But now, here's how they've gotten around it. If you're standing around on the street videotaping police, they will tell you you need to move along because you're loitering, and if you refuse to, they then arrest you for loitering.
That's cheap and wrong.
There are actually some state laws somewhere. There's a story that videotaping police is a violation of the law because it somehow impedes the investigation. I will get you that link. It's outrageous.
Because that's crap. Do your job and do it right, and it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna beat a suspect, do it in the privacy of the police station where no one can see you do it.
Nate,
what? Or use a plunger. I don't care.
Yeah.
whatever sort of police work you're into, whatever makes that happen. So basically, this guy happened upon a group of Baltimore police standing over a handcuffed man, and he pulled out his camera phone and started recording. And he'd seen reports earlier in the day that the police department had affirmed the citizens' right to record officers doing their duties in public. And he thought that's
doing what, their duties.
And he thought, okay, cool. Well, this might make a cool video. So it's apparently something that happens quite often in Baltimore when officers are trying to disperse late night crowds, probably in a lot of places too. And they'll tell everyone, patrons with or without cameras who refuse to leave, that everyone with an earshot is an armchair expert on police techniques and seconds away from potentially exciting a riot. So it goes back to Joe Friday reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, the officers got him to stop filming by telling him to cease recording and or seizing his camera. They didn't do that, sorry. They told him that he was loitering and he had to move along or risk arrest.
I mean, I get it if it's an officer safety issue and there's, you know, crowds and people are getting heated up and you need them to disperse. But it doesn't sound like that was the case in this case. It sounded like this guy was just sort of standing out of the way, doing nothing, recording, and no one else was really around.
He was loitering.
That's bullshit.
No, I think it's a right to document how public officials who are paid by public money are doing the work. But the thing that outrages me most about that story, and I read that because you sent it to me in advance, is one of my pet peeves, and I have a lot of pet peeves, is I despise the use of the word filming when we're talking about cameras, video. It's not filming. There's no film involved. There's no film. Film hasn't been used in decades. It is recording. It is videotaping. It is not filming.
Well, they also called the guy a her at one point in the article, too.
That
wasn't
too
the best article
off.
Ever.
That
yeah.
pissed me off.
They called her.
Well, you know, if you're gonna look like a hippie, it's a risk you take.
Just, you know, you reach down, you'll find out soon enough.
So Baltimore, Charm City, hits once again. Now we move to the Midwest, the northern Midwest, where a Minnesota city councilman has a Confederate flag hanging outside his home, and he says he's not taking it down no matter what people say. That's right. He's got the American spirit.
There may be consequences to that.
It's my house, he said. What's the problem? Now, according to the mayor, the flag is visible from a busy avenue and to visitors at a nearby park. It also has the word redneck written across it. Of course it does. I don't like it, says the mayor. Do I wish the flag wasn't there? Yes. I hate it when people ask their own questions and then answer them.
Sure, yeah.
You know, first of all, it's the newspaper. Let them ask you the question and you just fucking answer it. It cuts out a lot of time. Do I like it? No, I don't like it. Do I wish
Are
it
you asking
there?
Me questions? Yes, you're asking me questions, and I'm going to have to answer you. Do I have answers to your questions? Yes, I've got answers to your questions.
Now, here's the rub on it. While the mayor acknowledged that he's not aware of any complaints made to the city, he reached out to the guy on Friday about taking it down. He declined, and the mayor acknowledged the decision is ultimately the homeowner's. The guy's a first-term councilman elected in 2010. He put the flag outside his house over the summer. Do no complaints. He said that being an elected official should not matter one way or the other.
Unless he wants to be reelected.
He's got some great quotes coming up in there, though, that are well-reasoned quotes.
Sure. He says, and I quote, "It represents sovereignty, individual rights, and individual liberty." He told the newspaper, "It's my free speech, and that's my choice."
It's been never used to intimidate or harass anyone. Never.
Never a symbol of racism and white supremacy and hatred.
Oh, there you go, Mel. Here, he has more for you. And I quote, "I'm not a racist, and I don't think it's racist," he said. People like to play the race card, though, when they don't get their way.
You know, people like to play the race card when I'm at the Klan meeting all the time. They're always pulling out the race card like Bill's a racist. He's got on the hood again.
It's just a sheet. I happen to like white.
It's at least 300 thread count. Leave me alone. And
you know, the thing is, people always say it's a flag. It has no intrinsic meaning. It's a thing, and it has the meaning people place onto it, and everybody places different meanings onto it, but it's a cultural thing. Originally, it was a battle flag originally. It represented Southern heritage and Southern culture, but these days we know better than that. It represents other things. It represents negative things. It represents hatred and racism and white supremacy to a lot of people.
And I guess all three African Americans in northern Minnesota are outraged.
It's something. I don't know why you need one there, but I mean, I have a Canadian flag in my living room, so hey, whatever.
He's making a point. That's why he's a West St. Paul, Minnesota city councilman.
He's being a dick.
He's going places.
He's kind of being a dick. Now in New York City, they're finding solutions to problems with the economic crisis, and this is something I think we can all look to do. To stretch a dollar and make your resources go farther.
The gang members are carpooling?
Close.
They're carpooling for drive-by shootings to save on gas money.
They're gun pooling, actually. That's what they're doing. They don't have enough money to get guns for each and every gang member. So what they're doing is they are stashing guns in various public places and they will leave them back. They're sort of like zip cars, but guns. So somebody will do their thing and they'll leave the gun like in a mailbox or something. And then another gangbanger will come along and go, oh, well, I need a gun. I don't have one. Ah, there's the stash point.
How organized and cooperative of them.
I know.
Is this like using the restroom at Shoney's? They have like a big soup ladle attached to it so no one will forget to bring it back.
It's something like that. It's the weirdest thing I have ever heard of. It's absolutely nuts. It's the community gun. I have no idea what I mean.
It's organized crime.
It's very organized, and you're thinking, well, great. There's fewer people walking around with guns, but the problem becomes they can't really solve any crimes because they're getting ballistic matches on a bunch of different things that are being done by a bunch of different people,
all with the same weapon. That's
exactly.
And there's got to be like kind of like dangerous guns stashed about the whole city. Like anybody could come across one.
Do they pool their money for bullets and things like that? Or they?
If you use a last bullet, you have to replace them.
Is there like a checkout, like a library? Are there late fees?
It's like toilet paper. If you use a last one, you got to replace it.
Exactly.
They didn't get into that in the story. Maybe they use hollow points. I don't know. Maybe they get them from North Carolina. It's hard to say. Hey, you know what time it is, Mel? It's time for our original segment on the show.
Cool.
Hey.
Hi, Tool.
Whoa. And it's sponsored by our friends at Huge Entertainment. If you've got an event or something where you want entertainment, you want a DJ, you want some karaoke, you want to have a party, they like to party at Huge Entertainment. Spelled H-U-G Entertainment. Hit their link on NateDarlingShow.com. All right, cooler tool. Cops for arresting people loitering. Really, they're recording them, but... Cops, cooler tool on that one. Mel, you start.
Tool. Do your job and do it well and don't worry about it.
Unconstitutional tool.
Ooh, he broke out the big gun.
So I mean, again, my caveat with this stuff is always officer safety.
Ease up on the Latin, miss. Okay?
You shut up over there.
You tempus fugit. You carpe this diem right here.
Oh, he pointed to his wiener.
Oh, well, sorry. Thankfully I can't see that from here.
I get it. If it's officer safety or there's, you know, a crowd and it's not safe, but for the most part, do your job, do it right, don't worry about it.
Well, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, I don't think you have anything to worry about from the police.
I mean, a lot of departments have those in-car cameras and you know you're being recorded, so...
Look, everywhere has an in-car camera and you're being recorded everywhere.
Yeah.
But they don't. A lot of them in California, I'm surprised, in a state like California with all sorts of freeway stuff, I worked in Georgia for 10 years, and in Georgia, sheriffs and Georgia state troopers, they all had cameras in their cars. And I came to California, and it blew my mind that in California, they don't do that.
They're getting more and more of them.
This is California, baby. Isn't it in Georgia?
The land of highways. Yeah. Not the land of the Duke boys.
Not the land of stars and bars.
You know, I applaud their innovation for trying to get their way, and I think that's kind of cool, but ultimately it's a tool move. All right, cooler tool, the councilman and his flag. Mel, would you like to start us off? His Confederate flag?
Oh, geez. You know, my impulse is to say tool, because I think it's a tool thing, but if he believes in what he's doing and he's standing up for it and he's willing to deal with the consequences of his stupid, stupid behavior, then cool for being a tool, as it were.
All right. John,
that's an
think?
Interesting way. I mean, he certainly has the constitutional right, as we learned with Plessy v. Ferguson and Marbury versus Madison and all of those court cases where writs of mandamus were used.
Wow, I feel like I just went back in high school big time.
He has a right to, but he's a tool. I mean, he wants to instigate something to make, you know, what's the point? It means nothing. The thing is 150 years old. Get over it.
Yeah, my initial reaction is to say tool as well, but I'm going to go on the other side, because every now and then I like to applaud the person who, in the face of all good sense and reason, stands up for their right to do the stupid thing.
Right. He has the constitutional right to be a tool.
And he could even take that flag and burn it if he'd like.
Oh, no. Don't burn the flag. Oh, my goodness.
The Confederate flag, is there a rule against burning that one?
No.
Okay. And finally, in cooler tool, gangbangers adapting to the economic times and sharing guns. Mel, cooler tool.
Well, I mean, holy shitballs. Cool for being creative and smart and ingenious. Tool for being gang members and using guns and killing people.
Well, yeah.
Cool for their, ingenuity.
I got to go tool on that one. I really got to go tool on that one, because some poor kid in the Bronx is going to find the gun, and we can only hope that for the one time the kid doesn't hurt himself, but the bullet ricochets off a building and kills one of the gang members.
Well, people are going to die regardless.
What if Blue Ivy Z finds it? That's her last name, right? Blue Ivy Z.
Oh, Jay-Z and Beyonce. Beyonce.
Last name Z, right?
I believe so.
Blue Ivy Z.
Oh my God.
Well, I was just thinking Bronx. So, you know, I'm going. Here's why it's cool, because when this is told in 100 years on some reality TV channel, it's going to be one of those little tidbits that they roll out there for how the gang members avoided capture, and only for the TV value, I'm going to call it cool. So that's it for that. That's it for cooler tool. So this is Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
I know. Kind of wanted to get into a little bit of either a dating disaster story or some weird thing. I mean, you were a cop, Mel.
Do you know that the local News and Review here did a thing on worst dates, and my date made it into the paper?
Oh, well, good for you.
I've been published.
A copy of something that happened to me actually made it in, too. In fact, our Mexican friend Miguel sent me a message saying, hey, someone stole your story. And I said, you know what? I don't really think I've cornered the market on people crapping their pants at a date.
Yours is a special, special story, though.
It is. I'll tell the story. Mel, do you have a little bit of a shortened version of your story that you'd like to tell?
One of my own. Can I tell a totally different story?
Of course, as long as it has to do with love. That's all that matters.
It was a first date, so we weren't quite at love yet. But it's more of a bad date than a bad love story. I was on my first blind double date with a girlfriend. I was in high school, and she and her boyfriend, we parked, and the two of them were making out in the front seat, and the guy in the back is giving me the like, it's time for us to make out now, and I was all nervous and young, and unbeknownst to me, he had unzipped and taken out his junk.
Really?
And he did the arm around the back of the head and started doing the head pushy down thing.
Oh yeah.
And I looked down, saw Wiener, panicked, turned my head, and caught Wiener in the ear and started to cry.
Like all the way in the ear?
Oh my God, that's horrible. You're doing creepy voice.
You're doing Barry White.
Hey? Yeah.
Yeah.
I want you, baby.
Yeah, I got gooey Wiener ear.
And this was last week.
Yes. It was my first Wiener experience.
That's unfortunate. You were that frightened by it.
I was really scared. It was scary, and it was coming right at me.
The one-eyed monster was coming right at you?
Look at it. It was angry? Was it angry?
It was scary and angry, and it was like, I could see the vein in its temple throbbing. Oh. And my friend was so mad because, you know, I ruined her date because I made them take me home.
You literally cock-blocked her.
I did. I cried. It was embarrassing. It was horrible.
Oh, and I'm sure he didn't get a complex from that.
He was very angry with me.
I'm angry with you and I wasn't even there.
I didn't even know the guy. I mean, like, dinner first. Don't, like, shove your wiener in my face aggressively. He was, like, literally, we were doing, like, a wrestling match of him pushing my head down and me pulling it back. I mean, that's gross. Don't do that, guys. Don't ever do that.
And you never thought of giving in?
No, John Alston.
I'm sorry.
Well, it was a younger, more innocent Mel.
And I was like, you know, I was losing ground because I didn't have such a strong neck. And I was like, couldn't pull back anymore. So the last minute, I just turned my head and caught wiener to the ear.
Did it go all the way in the ear canal?
Oh,
like
it squished. It was horrible. Ugh.
Wow. How small was his cock that it fit in your ear like so?
Well, it didn't like fit in. It sort of like mashed against it, and I just got goo in my ear. Oh. It was horrible.
Why was there goo?
I literally got pre-cum in my ear.
Hey, this is KYCC, your Christian companion. We're telling love stories here.
It was horrible. I'm still traumatized.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm traumatized.
Is that the story that made the paper?
No. The story that made the paper was I was on a date with a guy who spent the whole date telling me how great he was and how he never met girls that were cool enough or worthy enough or as cool as he was. And he was stronger than he looked and smarter than real street smart and blah, blah, blah. And then he decided he liked the waitress, so we asked her out while we were on our date.
Nice.
Yeah. Of course, her family was at the next table, and she knew we were on a blind date, so she told him to go fuck himself and walked me out and had him pay the bill. It was humiliating that I was on a date with this guy, and he chose to ask the waitress out.
Let me ask you this. Was he Italian?
I don't remember. He was a mailman.
Oh.
That's all I remember. Wow. And for some reason, they edited that out of the article, which
he
I thought
was
mailman?
That's like the best part.
I know. That's the punchline.
He was a mailman. He was a jerk.
That's why the newspaper business is failing.
I went on a series of, when I first moved here, I did like online like dating. And so I went on like a series of like 30 dates in 30 days, basically. And it was just one bad date after another. Horrible.
Well, my dating story, it's not quite like that. But, and I've told this one before, so if you've heard it before, hang in there. I'll add things that I might have forgotten before.
It's worth every retelling.
This is a flashback to, like, 1994, so I'm a very young man at this point. And I'd been out with this girl a couple of times, and we'd had a good time. Both times. You know, gone out to movies and things like that, to dinner. And as we all know, the third date means
doing it.
At the very least, someone's wiener's getting touched.
Yeah.
So that's if it's going well by date
the nipple's going to make an appearance at some point.
Yeah, you're thinking this is what you're going to get. You're like, right. Yeah. So we go out to dinner. We go out to Friendly's for dinner because there
Friendly's.
You go.
Friendly's, oh, the famous upstate Northeast white trash ice cream slash.
How dare you? So we do that, and then we go out to dinner, and then we go to a movie, and I don't remember the movie now. I think I blocked that out, and we're in the car heading back out of the movie, and it's still pretty early because we'd caught like a matinee. It was like summertime, so it's like 8 o'clock. It's still kind of light out, and I'm like, "Hey, do you want to do something? Like go down by the waterfront and
hang out
and do whatever?" And she's like, "No, I don't really feel very well." And I'm like, "Okay, you sure?" And she goes, "Yeah, just take me home." And I'm like, "Okay, that's fine. If you don't feel good, you don't feel good." So I'm driving across Burlington, Vermont. And the route is nothing but stop signs every block. And every block as we go by, she's starting to squirm a little bit more in her seat.
Ooh.
And she's like,
"Ugh." I just feel her pain so bad.
And I'm like, "Are you okay?" She goes, "Yeah, I just don't feel good. I'm really sorry."
Which is girl speak for I have to shit, right. But we exactly. Can't say that.
And I'm like, "Okay, well," and I said, "All right." And I'm moving past that. I know that's one thing. I'm like, "All right, well, yeah, I'm sorry you don't feel good, but okay, I'll get you home." She's like, go a couple blocks further, and she's like, "Oh, she goes, "Please hurry."
Oh.
And
she's prairie dogging at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, please hurry. And I'm like, I'm going as fast as I can.
You know, in her head, she's screaming at you to hurry.
So anyway,
praying to God.
We get about 3 or 4 blocks from her house. And all of a sudden, I get the whiff in the air of something, and I get this defeated sound of, "I'm so sorry."
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
And she had, in fact, crapped her pants in the passenger seat of my car.
Fantastic.
The poor dear.
And, you know, I feel she gets to the, she gets to, we continue on in silence for the next two blocks. And we get to her, we get to her house, and she's just, she.
What,
is,
no small talk?
No, no, no. I don't know what to say at this point. I'm kind of at a loss for words, and I think she is too. I figure, why talk? It'll only make it worse. And so we get to her place, and she gets out of the car, and she's like, I am so, so sorry. And she puts her head down, and she sort of does a weird run.
With her butt cheeks squeezed together.
In front of the car and into her house. And my first reaction at that point is, all right, well, I'm going to look down to see if there's a mess here. Because I have to know what's going on. And there was not, thank
God. It would have had to go through a bunch of layers. I mean,
well, if it's liquidy enough, you never know. You never know. Three blocks is enough seepage time. So there was not, and there was the smell, of course, but I had a four-door car, and I rolled down with manual crank windows, and I rolled all of those down before I moseyed on.
Wow. Back.
I figured you were thinking, well, no anal for me tonight.
Oh.
too soon? I'm sorry.
Oh.
Well, it's been long enough now.
You know, so a couple weeks ago, Paul and I went to a breakfast, and we walked from my house, and it's just like, I don't know, three or four blocks maybe, and we get out of breakfast, and I have this thing, if I move after I eat, I always have to poop. And so we got about a block, and I turned to him and was like, I don't know if I should go forward or backwards. I got to poop right now.
If I move,
I can't like go for a walk or do any strenuous activity after I eat. I have to like digest for like half an hour.
Are you kidding me?
No. If I like eat and then like have to walk more than like to my car, I'll poop. And so I literally turned to him. I was like, I don't know if I should go back or forward. He's like, let's just keep going and do the best you can. I got about another block. I was like, I have to run. Hurry. And we had to sprint all the way home. And I'm screaming at him to get ahead of me and get the door open so I could get home and poop.
Clear a path.
And I made
Clear
it.
Clear a path.
But he was horrified.
It's like you have to figure it out. It's almost like you're Sully Sullenberger in the cockpit going, do I aim for Tina Burr or the Hudson? Where do I go?
It's totally true.
Oh, I've never heard that before. I can't.
Haven't you ever almost pooped yourself? Anybody who says they haven't almost pooped themselves, I think is a liar.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but I can eat and then move around without risking soiling myself.
I just can't like do a walk. I can't go for a walk after a meal. I just can't.
You're going to be a gem when you're like 70.
It's true. I worry about that. You don't even know.
Oh, Mel, that is fantastic.
I'm glad I could share with everyone.
You know, I'm going to alleviate a little bit of your embarrassment by playing someone else's embarrassment. I love the news from all over, and I never talk about the news here in Sacramento because I don't want to get fired. And but I have no lack of stuff because even if I have to go to Canada, I will find something amusing.
It's a sausage competition that I judge.
Oh, in like sausage eating?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. King of the Kubasa and local sausage makers, they all make their best and they enter it.
I bet it's delicious.
It is. It's February 9th, 7 p.m. at Prairie Land Park. Tickets are only $25. It's for charity, and you can get tickets online at Pick.
Oh, no. Well, you're thinking about sausage, so.
That didn't make it better.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it did not.
That was ridiculous, wasn't it?
We were not drinking wine today.
No, we weren't. We weren't.
Normally, yes.
Really good.
No.
It is. King of the Kubasa. So go to pickadick.com.
Oh, God. Oh. So, yeah.
Awesome.
So you make a mistake. You make a Freudian slip, and your co-anchor is right there to make it worse. And then, not only does she make it worse, she then proceeds to point out, we weren't drinking wine today, as though it normally they do the show completely shit-faced.
Yay. It's like sweaty balls, but real.
Normally, we're completely shit-faced when we do it, but today, no.
Pick a dick.
Yeah, exactly. That's what people were doing in Canada.
That could never happen in Sacramento.
No, it could not.
Oh, yeah. No,
there are no... No airheads of any gender who would, you know, blurt that out.
Nope.
Exactly. Now, yesterday I was sitting around watching TV, and this was also something that made me laugh. Not quite as much as the sea calling, but...
and I'll never be able... You know, I liked that commercial until now. I'll never be able to watch it the same.
I've ruined it for you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. This is something called the post-TVAC or post-TVAC. I'll play a little bit of it for you so you can get a flavor of what it is. Couple washing a car together.
Let's face it, our generation really knows how to appreciate the good things in life. Best car, best music.
Yes, but yet we still get the benefits of today's advances too. How could we live without our cell phone and our cable TV? Not to mention maintaining our youth through the years. I mean, wow. Nowadays it seems that we could stay young forever.
Well, that's true.
That's why we weren't about to let ED slow us down. Let's
face it, guys. You don't want to let Edie slow you down.
No. Important part of
that guy is hideous, by the way.
Every woman's. That's why PastaVac is so perfect for us.
Look, I tried them all. Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, non-prescription drugs, too. But like a lot of guys, I just don't respond well to the pills.
Nothing can make my cock work right.
It works. Fast, within minutes, and I mean every time.
I love that we can be spontaneous. We can relax because we know that PastaVac is going to work whenever
we can be spontaneous. We have to just pull out our
it
penis sucker wherever we are.
Isn't that what she's for?
Yeah, I thought so. But and they never stop washing this car, the front quarter of the hood of the car.
It's quite lathered with foam and other.
I wanted to see the product, too. They never once let you see the product.
That's the best part. It's like we all know what they're talking about, but they don't have to show it.
Right.
So basically, it's like a classy penis pump commercial.
Pretty much. That's exactly what it is. You've hit the nail on the head, so to speak.
You're a Christian companion.
Look, we never promised to be classy or radio safe here.
I wanted a tutorial. I want to see how it works.
I don't think we can play the tutorial.
Could you picture that when they're like ready to go and he's got to go find the pump and just, you know, and
find the pump, the lubricant to seal it down.
Exactly.
And you've got to imagine that's going to leave a ring.
And he said it takes 4 minutes. Like you had to be sucked on for 4 minutes.
Well, you need time for the blood to be sucked into the penis. And you know what I wonder? Oh my God, this just occurred to me. All this is something, it sucks the blood into the penis and then drops like a rubber band over your cock to keep it hard.
Ew. Ooh.
There you go. There, I've just, take that mental picture. Now, do you really want to see the demonstration on how it works?
No, I don't.
It's like a pull toy.
Pretty much. So there you go. Now you know what it's like.
And where is that advertised? What broadcasting or cable casting entity is carrying that?
I forget what it was. It was late last night. What was it, Don? I think maybe VH1 or one of the. It was VH1 or something. It was like
Buell.
It wasn't even that. It was like a VH1 or a TLC. And I was watching something on DVR, and when I came back, that's what was on. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
I would figure that'd be in like Fox 40's morning show with like Paul Robbins, you know, I can't. But you ever watch it? It's like Take Your Granddaughter to Work with him and the other. I love that show.
I'm going to continue my policy of not talking about any Sacramento news just because.
You may end up needing to work there.
Well, no, it's not so much that. I think it's just fair for me.
I know.
That's how I go. And this kind of surprised me, too. We go back to the great state of Minnesota. We got a lot of news in today's show. From Apple Valley, Minnesota, the driver of a Zamboni in a Pee Wee hockey game is arrested for operating the ice resurfacing machine while drunk. Police were called to the Hayes Arena after the Zamboni driver began weaving across the ice and smashing into the boards. Coach Brian Dorstrike called 911 as the 10-minute ice resurfacing job went on for nearly half an hour.
We've got an out-of-control Zamboni.
I know. The Star Tribune reports the 34-year-old man failed a field sobriety test. A blood alcohol test taken at the police station was sent to the State Bureau of Criminal
You can get a DUI for Zamboni driving, sure, right? Why not?
Well, what
That's awesome.
Parents helped smooth the rough spots on the ice after the man was arrested. Now, I know you can get a DUI for riding your bike. You can get you can get a DUI for riding a lawnmower drunk. I actually saw a dude in Sacramento. He had a Jesus sticker on the back of his seat. He was riding a lawnmower down the sidewalk on 16th Street. I shit you not. It was the weirdest fucking thing. He had an American flag and something Jesus related on the back of his lawnmower seat. I know. It was the craziest fucking thing I've ever seen.
He couldn't afford one of those fancy, like, get around, hover around wheelchair things.
Hey, why duplicate when you've got everything you need right there? Here's something I kind of wanted to talk about. I came to the realization last night as I was watching my Strange Addiction on TLC.
I love that show.
And not just My Strange Addiction, but also the promos for other shows on TLC, like My 600 Pound Life, This Got Stuck in Me. I don't know what.
I shouldn't have survived.
So I shouldn't have survived. There's a bunch of stuff like that. And I want to pinpoint the moment in time in which the Learning Channel is known for the longest time has suddenly become the 21st century version of a fucking sideshow tent. Because it really has.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, the History Channel too, the History Channel is now doing goofy stuff. It used to be educational stuff and now it's like seltzer bottles and clowns and anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it never would have occurred to me, except I watched a couple of specials on the Elephant Man over the weekend. And, you know, they were talking, of course, because he was in sideshows and stuff like that. And that was kind of appropriate for that time. Not appropriate, but that's just what happened. And it then occurred to me, oh, my God, TLC is nothing but a sideshow tent now.
Hoarders and
oh my God. I mean, I don't even know them all. So this is from one of last night's episodes of Strange Addiction.
And the thing that's awesome is that these people want to go on TV. They know they're being filmed.
Mm. Oh yeah. I mean
there's no film, Mel.
They know they're being recorded.
Thank you.
Sorry, John Alston.
Mel wasn't paying attention earlier in the show. So last night from My Strange Addiction.
So how does it feel when other people ride in Chase with you?
I'm just always thinking in my mind, I hope they don't do anything to hurt him.
Chase is his car, by the way. Let me just clear that up right now for anybody who doesn't know. Chase is this guy's car.
For Nathaniel, the biggest negative is going to be rejection and social stigma. We worry that he's going to lose friends, he's going to lose a support network, that he could even lose his job because he's socially not acceptable.
Did you watch the one where he's making out with the car?
We're getting to
it's
that.
Horrible. It's so disturbing.
Please tell me there's no tailpipe involved.
No. Look, it's an emotional and sexual relationship with his car, Chase, and it's not only emotional and sexual; it's gay because Chase is a boy car.
Right, and he said he has girlfriends.
Have you ever had a girlfriend or a boyfriend?
I've had girlfriends in the past, yeah, and it's always been hard. It's never worked out, I guess, because of that piece of me is still attached to cars.
You live in a kind of small town.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How would it feel? What would it do to your emotions?
This is a therapist talking to him. And by the way to kick in with that a little too late.
Didn't we have a woman that married the building a couple weeks ago too?
Yeah, but she was just making a point.
Freaks are abound.
She was just nutty. She was making the point that if corporations are people, buildings are people as well, and she could marry one. So she decided to marry a building in Seattle.
Could you imagine if he had a little diarrhea date crap the car?
It would have.
That
would have destroyed him. It would have destroyed him. Romantic things happen. You remember the Newlywed Game?
Yes, yes.
I love that show.
Oh well, I do too. And this is a little clip from the Newlywed Game that. That has gone down in history sort of as an urban legend, but it did happen. And basically, the word that you don't hear is ass. So there'll be a pause. Here it goes.
Number one.
Last of our five-point questions. Girls, tell me where specifically is the weirdest place that you personally, girls, have ever gotten the urge to make whoopee?
Awkward.
So yeah, in the 70s, as long as you called it making whoopee, pretty much anything after that was okay. Now you couldn't get away with this on TV now, but in the 70s, as long as you called it making whoopee, everything
you could
was
say
cool.
You wanted to do it in your ass.
In your ass.
And the other thing too, like Match Game, I loved as a kid, and you look at it, so how politically incorrect it is now. Everything was every joke was bazooms or boobs.
Just,
it was just so degrading. And now, I mean, you look at it, it's horrifying, but there it was hilarious when you know he did me in the blank.
It was so funny too because the girl never really did get it. She didn't even get the joke why everyone was laughing or how like ridiculous her answer was to the question.
I like that she was down to party. I mean, I think that's what I took away from it. She thought that was a perfectly acceptable and normal answer, and I applaud her for that.
I don't think the Newlywed Game went for the necessarily brightest couples
Well, I don't think the brightest couples would go on the Newlywed Game.
I mean, and the prizes were always shitty.
Yeah.
It was like, a grand prize selected specifically for you, and it's like a dishwasher.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's it.
Or a weekend in Palm Springs.
I bared my soul for this piece of shit appliance.
Yeah, it's a weekend in Palm Springs. It's an hour and a half drive down the 10 freeway.
Yeah.
And we'll put you up at Bing Crosby's guest house. So that's that. Hey, by the way, did you know that you can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio?
I heard that.
Yes, it's in all the papers.
Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows like ours directly on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or a Palm phone if you're one of those freaks. It's on demand and on the go. If you don't have Stitcher, you can download it free today at Stitcher.com or in your app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, it is the smarter way to listen to radio, which brings me to something I was going to talk about at the beginning of the show, but I'm going to do it now. Wednesday, our show was unavailable for people who were trying to get it on iTunes for a good portion of the day. And I was really irritated because this is about the third time it's happened since Thanksgiving. And what happened was, now, first of all, our show was available all day on Stitcher because they download the show as soon as it goes up on our site, and it was available all day there. But our site, which is hosted by Podbean, who are pissing me off, they were down pretty much all day for like 8 or 9 hours on Wednesday. So first of all, I apologize for anybody who tried to download the show on Wednesday and couldn't. And I emailed them. I was kind of pissed. I'm like, hey, this has happened 3 times in 3 months. And basically the email I got back was, we're aware of the problem, and we put in new servers, so this wasn't supposed to happen, but we're monitoring it. So basically it was, okay. So the reason I bring it up, and normally I wouldn't, is we're going to be doing a fundraising thing coming up here in the next couple of months. And this is one of the reasons why. Because I want to get off of that shitbox site, Podbean. Yeah, you heard me. Podbean, shitbox site. If you're going to go down 3 times in 3 months, fuck you. And I want to put us on our own site, which will allow us to do a lot more stuff. But it costs a little money. So just be on the lookout for that. We'll be launching that in the next
Now, is Podbean free?
No, it's not. And that's what pisses me off. They do have a free part of it, which basically you could have 1 10-minute podcast up there at a time if you had the free version. No, I pay a monthly fee for it, which would be about the same as the monthly fee for hosting our own website. But when you host your own, you need to basically you do it all in one lump sum, as opposed to with this, it's a month-to-month thing.
So you're getting a refund from these people? It would seem to me that you're entitled to a refund.
No. They're dicks about it. And that's part of the reason why we're looking at getting our own website, which will have a lot more stuff on it. So in the next month to 6 weeks, we'll be talking about ways that we want to improve the show and ways to have our listeners be part of that. And that's just one of them. So if you weren't able to get the show last Wednesday, I'm very much aware of it. I very much yelled at somebody in an email, and I'm just as pissed as you were when you hit refresh on iTunes or tried to go to our site and got an error message. So, yeah, I'm right there with you, peeps. It's bullshit, too. It really is.
Where is that father from North Carolina?
I know. I want to. Maybe he's the. Maybe he shot the. That, maybe the laptop was where everything. That was it. That was their server.
He's IT, and IT is Podbean.
Oh, fuckers. Oh, it's pissed me off so much. I mean, our show goes up, and everybody knows this. Our show goes up on Tuesday night so that you have it Wednesday morning, and we have a few hundred people who download our show every week, and they couldn't get our show. So they're coming between us and our listeners, and I'm not having it.
Yeah.
So there, fuckers. Hey, John.
Yes.
When you were on TV, have you ever had an uncomfortable moment with, say, a co-anchor or a reporter in the field?
Oh, my God. I was with one co-anchor in Sacramento, and boy, she's a drunk. I mean, I won't use any names, but I can't tell you how many times at like 10:45 I'm pouring coffee down her throat. It's, oh.
Well, have you ever had anything quite like this?
I do have a story. I mean, I don't know.
No, go ahead.
No, I had, there was a, I anchored in Philadelphia, and there was an anchor there, and at the end of every obituary story, they'd go to a two-shot, and at the end of every obituary, regardless of who it was, it could be the Pope, it could be the inventor of the paperclip, her go-to line was, he will be missed. Yes. I mean, it could be like Joseph Mengele. It's like, oh, he will be missed. No, he won't be missed. He won't be missed at all. He's a very bad person. No missing.
I had someone that I worked with in the past, and this was not on that. It was any sort of kicker story, which is a story at the end of the newscast, which is kind of weird or crazy or different. Every story would be there would be like the lead in line, and it would then be prefaced with, "Are you ready for this?" Yes, fucking tell me what it is.
Yeah. Check this out. Check this out. Look at this. Check this out. Check this out.
Are you ready for this?
You're not going to believe this.
It's a squirrel water skiing. Holy fuck, I was not ready for that. Oh, thank God she braced me. So
uncomfortable. I'm sorry. I sent you off on a...
No, that's okay. It was very much worth it. So I got to tell that story. This is an uncomfortable moment during some coverage of the LA Marathon a few years ago. On YouTube, it's titled, "This has to be the longest uncomfortable pause in the history of television." Let's hear
it. Dimitri probably has at least 200, 300 meters, and he's rolling along. And he was a late entry to the race. He came in late. We know he's run 64 minutes for the half marathon, but he's looking very good.
Well, Ed, is it one of these matters where the Kenyans and Ethiopians, they see, let's be honest here, see a white guy out front, and they don't take him seriously?
I don't know what you say to that. Apparently nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's a look at
there
that.
There we go. Well, they're back.
I wish I had the PL line in the control room. What the hell did he just...
I know.
It's like reverse inappropriate.
Well...
Those black people must be mad that a white guy is beating them.
No. It wasn't that. It was like they have to be like, it's a white guy. He's never going to stay out there. Which brings me to the 10 most racist moments in TV, which is one of my favorite things on YouTube. It's a couple of years old, but please to enjoy racist things said on TV.
Therefore, I believe in white supremacy.
Yay,
to
Hillary.
Take Tiger on, well, yeah, maybe they should just gang up for a while until...
Lynch him in the back alley.
Yeah, that's right. And then...
That's some rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and...
Some hardcore hoes.
That's a nappy-headed hoes there, I'm going to tell you that now.
Not a black male, not a Chinese male with his eyes like this.
But his...
Let me just make it clear that I'm not the one who put MIA under this. This was already done.
Hispanics can't carry the whole load. The rest of you get busy. Make babies.
Well, Ed, is it one of these matters where the Kenyans and Ethiopians, they see...
And this is better
honest,
to watch, so we should definitely put the link up because it's funny to watch.
Scent? No, what is New Delhi? New Delhi. Yeah, it hurts to miss that one.
Oh, Alex.
Trading without
Indian guy.
All they want to trade is burkas. I don't want to travel with them. They like one-way tickets.
China, it's like, ching chong, ching chong, ching chong, ching chong, Danny DeVito, ching chong, 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 Gronk, the view, ching chong.
Kind of stunned a second. Well, then get away from the door, nigga.
Oh. And poor Rosie should know better.
Well, a lot of those people in that clip should know better. I mean, Alex Trebek telling the Indian guy, ooh, that one really hurts to miss the New Delhi answer.
I think people, literally, if they could just have a couple seconds to think about what they're doing, they would. But it's so spontaneous, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can't believe
that. There were a couple. What was Billy the Greek had one?
Jimmy the Greek.
Billy the Greek. Billy the Greek. His brother runs a
with
Euro
the nappy-headed
shop
hose.
And they forgot. No. The other one they forgot was... New York Senator Alphonse D'Amato, I think, mocking Judge Ito in a Japanese, with Japanese dialect.
That would fall in there. I think Jesse Jackson referring to New York as Haimy Town could also fall in there, too.
It's equal opportunity offense here.
But
you have to watch it, though. Like, the guy doing the Chinese eyes is just so wrong.
Yeah.
And watching Rosie's face doing the ching chong chong chong.
I don't like watching Rosie's face.
It's a horror
but
show.
But there's a new, what's it called? Antenna TV. It's like digital channel 983.
Yeah, it's Fox 40's digital channel.
And they run like McHale's Navy and some old shows. Mm-hmm. And you want to look at the most inappropriate racial ethnic stereotypes where they dress people up during World War II as Japanese and with the eyes and the whole nine yards. And it's just like, oh my God.
It was acceptable.
Back then it was like, you know, woohoo.
It wasn't even like on Bonanza or whatever. The guy's name was like Hop Sing.
Well, maybe that was his name.
I know, but that's just really his name couldn't be John.
No, Mel, I went to a running seminar last weekend with AHA.
AHA, I was trying to tell that story, and I just couldn't remember her
I
name.
I love their work from the 80s, the Lean on Me or Cake on Me or whatever the hell it's called.
So here's the thing. People who are from a different land or a different heritage sometimes have names that are like Hop Sing.
Except that was an actor.
Well,
and they chose his name for the show. It's my point.
Well, and my point is there are people that are Chinese that would be named Hop Sing.
And
any more strange than naming Vic Tayback Mel from Alice. Well, how dare they call him Mel?
See, I'm not sure I agree with you.
Well, of course you don't.
Just in what I'm saying is, like, if you're going to have an African American character on your show, why do the people that are writing, who are often going to be white people, why do you have to call her Shaniqua instead of just calling her Jennifer?
Well, if she's African American and from here, her name may be Jennifer, but if she's African American or just African, her name is probably going to be African. And that was the whole point on Bonanza, was Hop Sing was a Chinese immigrant. So his name would have been Hop Sing. You're looking for reasons to get offended where there are none.
And back then, the Chinese were not treated too well. There are things called railroads. They were
not on the Bonanza, they were treated pretty well.
Comparison. By the way, can I tell you, it's closed now, but that actual house where they shot the interiors is at Lake Tahoe. The place is closed now. I don't know if the building is still there, and I took the tour once. And it's phenomenal. That's the room. There's a hole in the wall where they stuck a camera out to that with the fireplace in the kitchen. It was phenomenal. And they're in a tour, and everybody is taking pictures and excited. And, of course, I can't resist. And so the tour guide, the docent, says...
yes, because it's a museum.
Says... does anybody have any questions? And in the straightest face, I asked, where did Pernell Roberts and Lauren Green keep their toupees?
Oh, no.
And it was just, he just kind of fumbled, and there was a couple little, and that was my big line in the Bonanza, the Ponderosa house on Incline Village. And by the way, in that show, Lauren Green, as Ben Cartwright, had to go all the way to Carson City to get the toupees and the lavender necklace, handkerchiefs.
That's a long
way. Back in 1850.
That is a long way from... I've been to Virginia City. That's a long trip up into the hills to do that.
That's a long way to go for a really bad punchline, too.
It is. That's understandable, but, whatever you got to do to make it happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've reached virtually the end of our show.
No.
Nothing about Whitney?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
I thought there'd be something, some social commentary on...
I'm pretty sure...
I'm not looking for one, so I don't...
I'm pretty sure people will be able to find stuff about Whitney somewhere. So I figured...
For anyone who doesn't know, Whitney Houston is dead.
I saw a picture today with the caption of, "Don't worry, she's with her career now."
Aww.
Yeah, there. Now we've covered Whitney Houston. It's time now for Small Town News. And Small Town News is brought to us by the Nate Darling Show store at Zazzle.com/Nate Darling Show. Get your very own Nate Darling Show t-shirt, sticker, or whatever we got there. Order it yourself. They'll make it up custom for you. You'll support the show and wear it with pride wherever you go. It's the Nate Darling Show store at Zazzle.com/Nate Darling Show. And Small Town News, I had to leave Vermont this time. I'm sorry.
Aww.
I did. I looked all over, and there were only legitimate news stories in Vermont this week.
What?
I know.
There's always a cute story. I'm shocked. I'm saddened.
I know, but there wasn't this week, so I had to go across the lake to Plattsburgh, New York.
Ooh.
Where I lived. It's,
isn't that that's where Plattsburgh? That's where you went to college.
It is. It's where I lived before I moved here.
See, I remember.
And it's from the Press Republican, and in Plattsburgh, when it comes to love, sometimes music says it best. On Friday, Phil Bernard delivered his singing Valentine to her husband of almost 59 years, Lou Bernard. Phil's a chick, by the way.
Philomena?
Phyllis?
I don't know.
Phyllis, yeah.
Singing with her were her nine other members of the Sweet Adelines, a local barbershop-style singing group. Lou used to sing bass in the Barbershoppers, a singing group for men similar to Sweet Adelines. Much to his dismay, Lou had to give up singing because of his age. "I regret that I can't sing anymore," Lou said. "My singing voice is shot. I come to rehearsals every once in a while on Tuesdays, but I can't sing anymore. I've tried. My singing voice is gone." If only
the
David.
Saddest story ever.
If only David Lee Roth would go to a meeting with Lou.
Kind of like Whitney.
Come to the same realization.
Her singing voice is gone.
It's terrible. Nancy Grace referred to her as America's songbird today.
Oh, God. I thought Nancy Grace is America's songbird, a raven of doom.
Anyway, moving on. Even though he can no longer sing, Lou spent many wonderful years doing what he loves. He and Phil helped establish the two musical groups in 1968, and the Sweet Adelines began delivering singing valentines in the 80s. To Lou, music is a form of self-expression.
1880s?
Could be. One of the best parts is, quote, the joy of doing something I love and knowing that other people around me enjoy it too and they're having fun. Jesus, that's a
he
long
thinks.
Quote.
He thinks. Whatever you want to believe there, Bernard. Or
you know, I thought it was such a sweet article, but it is a really, really long article about two people that like to sing.
Oh, but it's more than that. It's about the Sweet Adelines.
And love.
Because the Sweet Adelines is... they are a female barbershop group, and they do concerts and stuff. But at Valentine's Day and other times, you can hire them out to go and do a singing Valentine for $45.
Wow.
And that's your small town news. On a side note, at the bottom of the article, it says, to schedule a singing Valentine, call Carletta. Carletta, my first mother-in-law.
Oh.
So I have a connection to the Sweet Adelines.
Carletta?
It is. First mother-in-law.
Let's call her.
No, I'm not calling her. It's a fucking loon. Are you kidding me?
It makes me think of The Music Man, because now I've got that like duet that the two barbershoppy groups did in The Music Man, where the guys were like, good night, ladies. That part.
Oh, okay. That's great.
I like musicals. If Larry was here, he would be singing with me, so.
Plattsburgh.
This is stupid. I want to talk about vaginas!
Yeah, that's what I say. All right, John.
Well, see you next week.
John Alston, thanks for sitting in with us.
Thank you. And I got to say, I love the dancing water fountain here in the living room. This is fantastic. I love the studio. I love the setup. It's warm, cozy, intimate.
You got to meet Zippy the Cat?
I met Zippy the Cat.
By the way, for everybody who would like to know, Zippy's birthday is Valentine's Day. He's going to be 12.
Happy birthday, Zippy.
Because Zippy, 12 years
Zippy
old.
Has his own account and gets his own iTunes downloads.
I wish. No. No, we keep a legit count, yo. We keep it legit, yo. Who's Paul McCartney, by the way?
Never heard of him.
Hey, by the way, you were up in Chico, no?
Yes, I was. I was up at Chico I was actually the very first booked comic to perform at John Ross's The Last Stand in Chico. So if you're up in the greater Chico Marysville area, stop by. It's right downtown. It's near the Fox TV station that has a cross in the lobby.
Oh, well, that's important.
It's fantastic. But anyway, go to The Last Stand. John Ross doing wonderful things in Chico, California.
And or just catch John Alston wherever you can, because he's very funny doing stand-up.
In the gutter somewhere.
Yeah, face down somewhere, but he'll be funny.
If you hear John Alston is performing somewhere, I suggest you go see it.
It'll be a side of me you don't normally see.
It's true. And
I'm like the Bob Saget of Sacramento, former news anchors.
And speaking of the Last Stand comedy, I'm going to give Keith a plug, because... Keith Lowell Jensen did our show via phone from 10 blocks away, and then when we hit stop on our recording, the thing crashed and we lost the whole show. So Keith sort of appeared on the show, but he didn't really.
Does he know? Does he?
He does, because I'm sure
he knows.
He completely knows. But you know, Mel and I actually sat here and did another show completely following that, and we finished it with a couple of his bits. So. If you want to see Keith Lowell Jensen, he's up there. Go support John Ross and Chico and see what's going on. Anyway, that's going to do it for the show. Thanks again, John, for sitting in.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it tremendously.
We've got a big February coming up. Larry's going to be traveling a lot, so there's going to be a little less Larry and a little more of our friends stopping by for
Yay,
different
friends.
Stuff. Yeah, so a little bit of a different flavor to the show, but I think Mel and I can hold down the fort and make things happen in a reasonably respectable and humorous way.
If we're not always fighting. We're like an old married couple.
Okay, today you got Mel's story of getting pre-cum in her ear and my story of a girl crapping her pants in my car. I really don't think you're going to have a better show to listen to this
week.
That
mixes two fluids like it's a Santorum Valentine's Day special.
Oh, it is. And on that note, we're going to wrap up the show. And this week's show brought to you by the Lady Business Show.
See you Saturday.
The Sacramento Comedy Spot, February 18th. It's an 8 o'clock show. Tickets are $8. Or see them and Anti-Cooperation League immediately following for $12. Tickets are at saccomedyspot.com. You can hit the link in the show description here on the Nate Darling Show. And by the way, tell your friends, tell your neighbors that you're listening to the Nate Darling Show, because we want more listeners, we want more love, and we want to take over the world. Y'all have a good Valentine's Day. We will see you next week.
Find love.